Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of This Is Real with yours truly, Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and Stephanie Martinez Rave.
Hi, everybody. We've got a special show for you guys. We have a special guest, Pastor Tim Ingram, who's a very dear friend of Pastor Juan's.
Absolutely. He's incredible. He's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, he's great. And so we've enjoyed him as he came and preached at Get Wrapped just in the last few weeks. And so we also wanted to share a special time with you guys. He's going to be talking about the rest. Sabbatical, Sabbath, yes. Those things. He shares personal stories on how, you know, he was able to sort of shift his mindset and really just put his life into God's hands in a practical way.
Yeah, and it's something that a lot of times, I don't know, it's not like the popular topic, right? Mm-hmm. Like stop, slow down, yeah. Rest. Because we think resting is just laying by the beach, but yeah. He kind of breaks that down that it's not, right?
Yeah, and I like that, you know, it's a practical sense of it, because so often I think we go on opposite ends of the spectrum of like, oh, yeah, totally. Law, you know, yes. Or that doesn't apply to me. So sure. Pastor Tim has a great show ready for you guys. You're going to enjoy it. Stick around.
Rest.
Don't be legalistic. If you're reading the scriptures, Jesus was not legalistic. They were eating the bread that they're not supposedly supposed to eat on the Sabbath. They're picking grain on the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath, meaning we can't add to it. It adds to us. It is for us. So what does it look like? Well, in your life, pick 24 hours that you're going to cease from your regular work.
What's up, everybody? I'm super excited. My new book, That's Crazy. No, That's God, has officially launched. Bam, 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 bam. Listen, I just brought it back for all of y'all who've been missing the sound. But let me tell you something. This book is going to ignite your faith. You need to tell every single person you know to get the That's Crazy, No, That's God book. I'm telling you, it's going to ignite your faith. It's going to show you how to see what's already there. It's going to show you how to listen to the voice of God and be led by the Spirit into the supernatural. Not just in big moments, but in your everyday life. Because the planet's going to say, that's crazy. And you, your friends, your family, they're all going to say, no, that's God. Go get the book now. Peace.
Welcome, everybody. This is Real with Juan Martinez, Pastor Juan, also known as Dr. Love. Clearly, I am not he. He's on a ministry trip, and he's asked me to come in. My name is Tim Ingram, also known as Tim Ingram. That's all I got, you know, and so glad to be with you today. Thanks to Pastor Juan, Pastor Ruthie, for inviting me to be on This Is Real. Real people, real problems, real solutions, and I am a real person, and I had a real problem that I want to share with you today. And a real solution that I know came from the Lord. And I hope, as it was helpful to me, it's helpful to you as well. Wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, I pray that this is a blessing to you today. Pastor Juan and I met nearly 7 years ago at a Gateway Church Network event. It's become one of my dear friends in the ministry. I know his book is called That's Crazy, No, That's God. This man is crazy because he is from God. And he's doing amazing work. He and his wife, Ruthie, have become dear friends to myself and my wife, Christine. We've traveled to Israel together. We've walked the streets of Jerusalem, got baptized in the Jordan River together. We floated in the Dead Sea together, which was wild. Like, that is crazy, and that is God. So it was amazing. Thanks, Pastor Juan, for letting me join This Is Real today. And again, I hope this is helpful to all of you, my situation, my story. It kind of starts many, many years ago. We were on a flight home from vacation where we're just hanging out, supposed to be wonderful and amazing. And what ended up happening is a problem in my life got revealed, a problem that you might have in your life as well. Maybe you don't know you have it. And if so, it could be creeping there and something I hope that the Lord will help prevent from happening for you. Or maybe the problem I had is something you're going through right now, here and today, and I just pray that this is life and hope and help for you. So for me, we're heading home from this vacation, and I have this massive panic attack on an airplane at 35,000 feet out of nowhere. Listen, y'all, I've been 30 years of ministry now. This happened 9 years ago, so 21 years of ministry. I've been saved for 30 years of my life. You think that I'd have it all figured out, but not even close. Here I am coming back from this vacation, have this panic attack. I pass out on my wife's lap. I'm sweated through my clothes. It's a terrible experience. And it opened up for me these three and a half years of crushing, crippling, debilitating, whatever terrible word you want to use, anxiety. And it kind of came out of nowhere. And you may be sitting there thinking, like, I don't have a problem with anxiety. Never have. Well, that's what I thought too. And suddenly, out of nowhere, my real problem showed up, that I had this crippling anxiety. For me, I had this underlying disease that I like to call it, which I didn't know that I had, which is called accumulated stress. Very easily to understand. It's just all of the stress piles up in your life. And if you don't have a healthy way to deregulate this stress, eventually it keeps rising and rising and rising. And all of a sudden, one day, it just overflows. And that's what happened for me. Even coming off vacation, think about that. Vacation wasn't even enough to slow down my stress, all the things going on in our lives. We just planted a church. My daughter was going through a very major medical issue. And all of just regular life piling up until one day it spilled over. I have this panic attack on a flight. Normally not a scary thing, but just a small thing like, oh, I'm 35,000 feet in the air in a silver tube of death. All of a sudden, it was too much for me. And I went down hard. Our elders at the church prescribed me some rest, a sabbatical they put us on, and it was wonderful. But it was not curative of my disease. Like, I still had this problem. And what am I going to do with this problem? Because it was hard to function. It was hard to do my job. It was hard to sleep. I couldn't tell at night if I was falling asleep or if I was passing out again. So I would jerk awake over and over and over. I was just exhausted, y'all. It was ugly. My poor wife, Christine, I love you. Thanks for everything you put up with. And my family and the church, they were so kind. So we try to do a lot of things to get me help. I try to do a lot of things to get me help, which included going to counseling. I have a degree from the University of Florida in counseling, and I still didn't know what to do with myself. So I went to counseling, and this is a Christian counselor, but he used traditional Western counseling methods. So we did not employ the work of the Holy Spirit. We did not employ the scriptures. We were just going through like normal counseling with a Christian guy. And it was helpful, but again, it wasn't curative. It didn't fix the problem. This is the way I try to explain it. He said to me this. This is funny to me. I don't know if you'll think it's funny. But he's like, hey, I want you, every time the anxiety pops up in your life, I want you to see it like on a boat and watch it drift away. So don't let it come into the harbor. Don't meditate on it. Don't bring it into your life. Just let it float away. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, what if the boat is on a lazy river? You know, one of the lazy rivers where it goes round and round and people sit on the tubes and they go by like 50 times round and round? Because I kept thinking, well, it's fine for me to think this thing's going away, but I know, and the devil knows, it's going to come back around. And so I haven't been healed of this. I'm just pretending like it's not there. And he's like, okay. Why don't you then instead see it like tied to a helium balloon and floating away? And I'm like, well, there's birds up there and they're going to pop that balloon. And this anxiety is coming back. And this is what I kept saying to him. Like, we can pretend like there's no anxiety, but I know when I leave this place, driving down the road, it's going to come again. And if we don't deal with this problem, I'm just going to be here over and over and over. The way that I thought about it was like, hey, there is a lion trying to devour me in the room. Just like the Bible says, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour, who he's going to have for lunch. And I was the lunch. And I would sit in this room and he'd be like, hey, let's just pretend like the lion isn't there. That was the way the counselor was trying to counsel me. And I'm like, well, that ain't working because I know the lion is still sitting right there. And as soon as this session's over, he's going to pounce, he's going to have lunch, and I'm it. So what I was really looking for and was seeking the Lord for is I need something that won't just distract me from the lion, but that will actually destroy this lion in my life of anxiety. Take it out completely and utterly destroy it. So my search went on, and I ran into my actual problem. As I searched the Lord, he spoke to me, actually kindly convicted me. Don't you know conviction is a grace of God. It's kindness of God for him to say, you are out of order. And if you would come into order with me, you would find life, abundant life that I've promised you. I'm like, okay, God, where am I out of order? Let me take you to the scriptures. Exodus chapter 20. If you read Exodus chapter 20, you're going to find the Ten Commandments, where God is laying out the law for the people, saying, if you will live this way, then you'll be blessed. And not only will you be blessed, but all the nations around you will know that I'm the Lord your God when you follow my commandments. And so he lays them out. I'm not going to read all of them. You might remember them. The first one, you shall have no other gods before me, no idols. Number three, you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. And then in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, we run into the fourth commandment. And I'm going to read the entirety of it to you. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested, God rested, on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the fourth commandment. Then it goes on, the other six, you shall not, you got to honor your father and mother, kids, honor your father and mother. No stealing, no killing, no adultery, no lying, no coveting. These are the other six that go on. And I did the math on the Ten Commandments, and it turns out that the fourth commandment, just one of the commandments, is one third of all the commandments, meaning all the words that the Lord used to tell us the fourth commandment is one third of all the Ten Commandments, which means, well, it doesn't mean that the fourth commandment's more important than the rest. They're all important. What it really means, I believe, is that the Lord knew that us humans would just skip over this one. Like, we understand don't murder. We understand don't lie. But when it comes to the Sabbath, we might be like, does that one really matter? Like, do I really need to spend 24 hours each week not doing my regular work and dedicating this time to the Lord? Like, can there be some, you know, maybe 5 hours, maybe just 15 minutes each morning? That could be my Sabbath. And so this idea of Sabbath is to spend a 24-hour period with the Lord. And you're like, well, what do I do to rest? What does rest look like? Well, in America, we got no idea. We got no clue, at least for me. Maybe I'm projecting this onto you. Typically, what we think of rest is like laying on the couch, eating some donuts, some popcorn, watching some football or Hallmark Channel, whatever you're watching. And typically what happens at the end of that, we get up and we literally feel worse than we did when we lay down. We feel like this blob of flesh that's just wasting away. Like, man, I just wasted a whole day doing nothing. And that's not restful to us. Or on the opposite end, what happens to us is we feel like we're wasting time because we want to get stuff done. And to sit down or to rest for 24 hours is like, I can't do that. There is no way that I do that. I'm too important. My schedule's too busy. I got kids. I got to pay the bills, all of these things. Let me ask you this. It's like tithing. They say in tithing, would you rather 100% curse or 90% blessed? And it's the same with the Sabbath. Would you rather 7 days cursed or would you rather 6 days blessed? And really, it's all 7 days get blessed because you spend the time with the Lord. So our family, we decided we had to get together, and maybe this is what you need to do with your family. If you're living by yourself, talk to your friends, talk to the people around you, and just say, how are we going to do this in our lives? Now, listen to me. Don't be legalistic. If you're reading the scriptures, Jesus was not legalistic. They were eating the bread that they're not supposedly supposed to eat on the Sabbath. They're picking grain on the Sabbath. Remember, the Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath, meaning we can't add to it. It adds to us. It is for us. So what does it look like? Well, in your life, pick 24 hours that you're going to cease from your regular work. So what do? Well, I work on Sundays. I'm a pastor. I didn't even tell you that. I'm a pastor at Illuminate Church. I should have said that at the beginning. We have a church just outside Kissimmee, Florida, Disney World. If you're in the area, if you live there, come on over. We'd love to have you, Illuminate Church. Or if you're like most of the rest of the world and you make a trip to Disney or Universal, come see us, Illuminate Church. Love to have you there. So because I work on Sundays, we had to find another time. And what we decided to do is to take Friday at 5 p.m., to Saturday at 5 p.m. as our time dedicated to the Lord. So what do? Do we just sit around? No. Let me introduce you to the Hebrew word for rest and what God means for us when we learn to rest. In fact, I've written this book called Unrest because the idea of it is we need to unlearn the way that we rest and learn God's way of rest. We think rest is sitting down and just doing nothing, laying in a hammock, taking a shower, or going to bed at night, whatever. God's way of rest is completely different, and it'll change your perspective on what the Sabbath can be. The Hebrew word for rest is menua. And I joke around all the time that don't add the word R to it because it makes it a completely different story. It's menua. And menua means restfulness that is a celebration. Restfulness that is a celebration. So your Sabbath day is meant to be not just laying around all day, but a day of celebration. Well, what does that mean? If you go and look in the book of Exodus, flip over just a little bit to Exodus 13, you'll see God telling them to hold a festival on the seventh day. Now, in our mind, if you've ever considered the Sabbath, you think, well, nobody does anything on the Sabbath. They're not supposed to touch a thing. Don't do anything. And God says, no, on the Sabbath, I want you to hold a festival to me, which means you're going to plan a party. There's going to be food there. There's going to be gathering. Somebody's going to have to get the house prepared. So people are doing stuff. But it's stuff unto the Lord. It's work unto the Lord. And so they would gather. This particular festival was to remind them that God had delivered them from 400 years of slavery. Think about that. This nation, the United States of America, that we're in, hasn't even been 250 years old, and they were in slavery for 400 years. And he said, on the Sabbath day, remind yourself, appreciate the fact that I have brought you out of slavery, and have a celebration. So what do? At our house, Friday nights, we have what we call the Shabbat meal, just the Hebrew word for Sabbath, Shabbat. And typically, there's some bread on the table, or sometimes a tortilla. We have tacos. I'm like, okay, the tortilla is the bread. There's candles on the table. And then we usually have a hot, warm towel, like if you sometimes went to a Japanese steakhouse and they bring out the hot warm towel and you warm your hands. You know what I'm talking about? Perfect. And so the way that we begin the meal is we bless the bread and we say, Lord, this has been your provision to us over the last week. You have provided, and we're testifying and remembering and celebrating. We wash our hands with the warm towel to remind ourselves that God has purified us through the blood of Jesus, that we are sinners no more, that he has redeemed us by his blood, that the old is gone and the new is here. We need reminding weekly this practice. Like, I need to remember every week that the Lord has purified me. And then we light the candles and we say, we welcome the Sabbath. And this is representation of his presence with us. Oftentimes, we sit at the table before we're eating, the food's getting cold, everyone's like, let's eat. And I'm like, slow down. And we take a big breath. We'll open the front door like we're actually welcoming the person of the Sabbath to our table, like welcoming the bride at a wedding. Finally, this moment has come, and it is so powerful, and it never gets old. Like, you think one Friday we're like, okay, we're tired of this. But when you stop after a busy week and you take a breath and you say, Sabbath, we welcome you. The person of the Sabbath, of course, is Jesus. He comes in. And we know for the next 24 hours, we're going to deeply, richly walk with him and be with him. Doesn't mean that we have like a 24-hour devotional and we're sitting there like monks and at the dinner table. We spend time going around and we say, what did we appreciate about last Sunday? How about Monday, Tuesday? We go through every day and we go around the table. I got five in our family, my wife and three kids, and we each take time and we're eating and celebrating the whole time, celebrating. Then at the end of the dinner, I wear like a stole, a scarf as a covering, and I go around and I place it on the head of my children one by one, usually starting with the youngest and my daughter who's middle and my oldest son. And I just pray a blessing over each of them each Friday night. This tradition in our home now, my kids get a blessing from their father every Friday night. Isn't that wonderful? We never used to do that. Like, it took me 46 years to realize that I could bless my kids every single Friday. I can bless them more than that. But at least once a week, we stop and we have this blessing. And then after we bless the children, they all gather, they place their hands. I say children, I have two adult kids. One's 23, one's 19, but in my heart, they're always my kids. So at the end, they all place their hands on my wife, Christine, and I place the stole on her, and then we all bless the mama together. And then we go get ice cream. Like every single Friday, we go to an ice cream place in Orlando. There's a million of them. Well, not literally, but a lot of ice cream places. And the joy, no matter how hard the week has been, no matter what we've done relationally, there is a healing, there is a uniting, there is this oneness that happens, not just with the five of us, but with the Spirit of God. And we're just celebrating everything that God has done. Now, why is this important? Why does God say that our celebration should be part of resting? Well, two things. Number one, you probably already figured this out, but God never gets tired, and yet he rested. God's never exhausted, yet he rested, because he was showing us that rest isn't about recuperation, it's about appreciation, that we would take the time to say, God, you've done great things in my life over and over and over, and I need to remind myself, which is the second thing. The power of your testimony, of you speaking out the things that God has done in your life, is so galvanizing in your spirit of your identity and his identity. This is what he has done, and this is who he has made me to be. That happens when we testify. You may know in the book of Revelation, it says that we overcome the accuser. Think about that. It means the devil is standing before God saying, Tim Ingram is terrible at this. He's sinning this way. Accusation, accusation, accusation all the time against me. And we overcome that accuser, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 12, by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus' sacrifice. That's our eternal redemption. And the word of our testimony, which is our daily perseverance. We need to constantly be testifying to ourselves of God's goodness to remind us in the midst of the muck of the world we're living in that he is good and everything that he does is good. Psalm 119:16 says he is good and all he does is good. He is good and all he does is good. I say it all the time to myself, to my family. And when we testify, we're reminded of that. And it builds something in us over time that overcomes the enemy. Now, we should do this all the time. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day, all the time. However, God designed it that just in case you forgot, just in case you got busy, just in case the world is crushing in on you, that on the Sabbath day, you would stop and at the very least remind yourself, God is good and all he does is good. He's working all things for good. He takes what the enemy means for harm and he turns it to good. And when we testify, we remember that. So we do that on Friday. Then Saturday, what do? Whatever we enjoy. If we like to work in the garden, I use the word work on the Sabbath. If you like to work in the garden, it brings you life, do it. If you like to write music on the Sabbath, that sounds like work to somebody, but to you, it brings life, do it. Oftentimes, yes, we'll gather around the Word of God and we'll have a family devotional and what do we learn and what are we doing? Oftentimes, we're at the ball field with one of the kids playing sports and we're just enjoying the life that God has given us and calling it all blessing, even driving all over and kids have got soccer games here and baseball games there. We call it all blessed. And then there is some of the day where we just straight up relax. You might take a nap, but it feels different when it's centered in the glory of God and appreciating that he has given you life and he's helping you overcome everything in your life. Which brings me to this. I struggled with anxiety for 3.5 years. I took a sabbatical. I went to counseling. I did everything that I could think to do. And the actual only thing that ended up curing me of full-blown anxiety was practicing the Sabbath. Maybe that's true for you as well, that somewhere in your life, the schedule has usurped your life. There's stress, there's bills to be paid, and you're just at panic mode all the time, hair on fire. And the Lord is saying, I'm offering you an exchange. We call it a swap meet. This idea where I'm going to bring something to you and you're bringing something and we're going to exchange it. Well, the Sabbath is a weekly swap meet where you get to come to the Lord and say, hey, I've been carrying all of these burdens. And you know, the Bible says to cast your burdens unto him for he cares for you. And on the Sabbath, you get to do that. You say, this is too much. This is too heavy. I can't do this. And so I'm giving it to you, Lord. Also, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there's the exchange. Come to me in the practice of the Sabbath. And by the way, you can do this again anytime during the week, but at least once a week, God has designed it so that you would stop and come to him and make the exchange. I'm laying down these burdens. They're too heavy. I can't pay the bills. My health, my relationships, my story has been interrupted by who knows what. And it feels overwhelming to me. So once a week, at the very least, I'm going to come to you, Lord, in the Sabbath. I'm going to lay these down and leave them to your care. That's the gift of the Sabbath. God didn't give us the Sabbath as a weight, like, oh my gosh, one more thing to do. Another thing on my schedule that I got to fit in and I don't know how to do it. He gave it as a gift to you that at least once a week, you would pause and remember the giver of life, the source of all life, and you would soak in it, not rush by. You would soak in it deeply in this 24-hour period. So I invite you, now this is kind of the call to you today. If you would, get with the Lord and say, Father, first of all, if you haven't been practicing the Sabbath, just ask for forgiveness. He's not mad at you. He's inviting you. He's not condemning you. He's inviting you. And just say, Father, forgive me for not obeying the fourth commandment. It's important to you. You set it apart as holy. And if it matters to you, then it matters to me. And then say, God, help me figure out where to put this in my schedule. I yield my schedule to you. Don't make your schedule an idol. The Sabbath will cure you of that. Like, my schedule belongs to you. Whether it's by yourself, with some friends, your family, sit down and have the discussion. How are we going to do this? And I hope it's a help to you. I have this book here. If you'd like to check it out, it's called Unrest. I'm not really a book salesman, but I believe in the message and the way that it changed my life. It healed me, completely healed me, the practice of the Sabbath, and it's brought us so much joy as a family. I pray it does the same for you. Thank you so much for letting me share this with you. Thank you, Pastor Juan, again, for having me on This Is Real. I am a real person. I had a real problem with anxiety, and I found a real solution in the practice of the Sabbath. I pray that you find it too. God bless you.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.